We are picking up where we left off from last week. And if you didn't listen to the message last week, if you weren't here, I highly recommend that you go and you listen. Not that what today the Lord is sharing, but the parts that were in last week are so crucial to understand where we are currently in society, where we are currently as a body of Christ, where we are currently in the world. If we don't understand how dire the situation is, if we don't understand how critical the situation is, we will not take the things that God is saying here today as very, very important. I understand only because I had to go through it first. And when we talk about the radical dynamic of the church and how God is using his people to do the work that he has called us to do, that great commission, if we are not understanding the dire necessity for the application of this to happen, we are about to witness the massive death of the church, not just in America, but across the globe. And you are all going to be responsible for it. And I can't tell you one word that I never wanted to have to preach from this pulpit. But to say that, if that doesn't shake you to the core and make you wake up, then reality is there is nothing that will. And everything that you're doing here is simply just a show. And that's not going to get you in. You can profess him, you can talk about him all day long, but the reality of it is, if all you did is use him as a show aspect, like he's your prize pony and you just want to put him out there on display, that's not what he's looking for. It's just not. So today, we are going to go into a little bit more of that function. We're going to get into a little bit more of that requirement and where that requirement comes from and how that requirement is pressed upon us and what it looks like. So as the body of Christ, we are only able to function properly if we are connected. Just facts. However, again, referring back to last week, we are so divided now, more so than we've ever been in history. It is bad, the level of division that is sowed into the church now. Whether it's doctrine, culture, or even what's preached from this very pulpit. The parts of the body have become so separated, and this division is causing harm to the gospel and the mission of Christ and the one he gave to us when he told us go. Right? There are churches that believe it or not, that's not their job. Even though it clearly states it in the Bible. This is why we have to get it together, church. For the world that is going to the wayside, but also for our own health and the survival of this church. Not this specific church. Though we are included. But for the church of Christ. It's that crucial. So, Father, I pray today, Lord, that your people would have ears to hear, Lord, eyes to see. That, Lord, their hearts would be prepared, ready and willing to receive your word today, God. And that most of all, Lord, we would have conviction, God, in these areas that you're correcting in us, God, to not just sit by and blow it over as though, well, that's not me, or I don't have a part to play. Lord, from what you have shown me, the part we play is so much greater than we can think of or imagine. And our time of just sitting around and making excuses or saying it's not us has gone. We're all held to the standard that you've set for us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would receive this today. We would hear what it is you are saying. And we would get it together. So, Lord, have your way today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So forgive me if I seem a little groggy. I am. 4 hours of sleep will do that to you. But that's okay. The Lord will do what he wants to do. And as I jokingly said to someone this morning, I said, when I'm not functioning properly, the Spirit takes over. That just means you guys are in more trouble. Because he has all the wisdom and knowledge. Amen. So where we're going to start today is in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10. And really we're just going to kind of camp at Corinthians. So there's a lot that Paul shares in Corinthians that really has a lot to do with this subject matter. And when he's addressing the church in Corinth, he's addressing something that is obviously a problem. I don't know about you guys, but if this was a problem way back when, and it was addressed way back when, but we ignored the problem, what do you think happened? Not only did it get worse, but it became almost misunderstood as a problem. It almost became accepted, and even in some cases, well, this is what we're supposed to do. All because we didn't heed a warning that is ages old. But in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, and only verse 10, Paul says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Is he asking for us to just be puppets and just all repeat word for word what everybody says the same thing? If you want to do that, go to the Catholic Church. Because that's what they actually ask you to do. But that's not what Paul's saying. He's not asking for you to just become mimics and repeat, okay? But he says that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want you guys to just absorb this for a moment. Because in this particular verse is so much weight of responsibility, and I don't think we understand where it falls and where it is. I just think we have basically taken this as something as simple as, oh, well, we just need to work together. Right? Pretty straightforward. And most people have this ideology that comes out of this that's basically, well, you're leading us, Pastor, so you tell me what I'm supposed to say, and I'll say what you tell me to say. That's actually what has created the problem that is being addressed. Because what is formed here in Corinth is something known as a sect. S-E-C-T. Now, this is back then. And the title of this passage in my Bible says something along the lines of, what? Sectarianism. I couldn't say it. Just wasn't coming out. Ugh. Again, bear with me. Is sin. Not is okay. Not should be being done in the church of Jesus Christ. No, but is actual sin. Right? And why is it sin? Well, that's easy one to figure out. Do you know what the word sect means? Division. Cut off. What does sin do? It literally cuts you off from God. It divides you, right? I also have another scripture that specifically tells me that Christ is not divided. So how can the body be in sects? Which is outside of the will of God. This is as clear as day, yet what do you find most inside the church today? Sex. Why? Because, well, you don't believe the same way as we do. We all believe this, so this is our little group over here. This is the way we operate in the Church of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's how you guys operate? Well, you guys don't believe in fivefold ministry, so we're gonna form a little group over here, because we believe in fivefold gift ministry. Amen? Oh, but you like that guy Calvin, and so you work around all his teachings, so we're gonna form a sect over here, and we're gonna call them Calvinist. Oh, but we don't like that, so we're a little different. We like this Armenian belief system, so we're gonna come over here and we're gonna form this Armenian belief group, and we're gonna call the Armenians. Right? Do you see how this is in the church today? Every single religion, and I put that in air quotes, or denomination, is in and of itself a sect. Why? Because those denominational churches, and this is not an anti-denominational message, so shut that down and get that out of your head immediately. But each of those denominations stand and profess that theirs is the one that is correct. And that the other denominations are missing something, or they don't have the full message, or they're leaving something out, or they're adding too much. Thank you. But if we take in this just brief message in one verse and understand that what Paul is addressing when he says that you all speak the same thing, that you be of the same mind and in the same judgment, is actually addressing the problem that has developed, which is that you are speaking things that are different, and that you have come together in that one thing that you believe, but you're not working together as the body. This is depicted in one word, and that is joined. The address, you don't see the word sect in there, correct? It's not there. But the addressment is not focusing on the thing you have done that is sinful and bad, these divisions that you've created that are being cut off, or you're separating yourself from each other. But he's explicitly telling you that the expectation is that you are to all be joined together. And not just joined together, correct? Perfectly joined together. Which means what? Can you do it? Is it based on what you think is right or wrong? Is it based on what I believe or you believe? Is it based off of this historic figure who came up with a great way of bringing it all together? Or this other historic figure? There's only one historic figure that matters in the body of Christ, and that is Christ. And we did this in, right? That be either they or I, we preached and you believe. So either you have to agree with that base, that there is one message, and that message is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the only thing that matters is that message. There is nothing else. And if there is, guess what you are in danger of becoming? A sect of the body, which is basically a division, and you are in the process of recruiting to that division. Guess what the Church of Jesus Christ has been doing? A lot of sect recruiting. Less gospel message, more sect recruiting. I need people to come and be in my church, because my church, we preach the Bible. Well, that's great. Is the gospel in it? Because that doesn't matter a hill of beans if you don't have a message of salvation for the people who come in. Well, we need to tell them about what God says. No, you need to tell them that there's a path to salvation, and that salvation path comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the reason why that needs to be the message in all things is because what do you think your job is, church? To wait for the pastor to do it for you? When we see that perfect distinction, we can eliminate that it's based on anything that the world has to say as to why this is what needs to be done, whether it's any form of our own personal reflection or in indirect way of understanding how things are supposed to be done. The things that are done in perfection can only be done by the power of God divinely, because we lack that ability. If I'm in the mix and he's not taking the reins, I am going to mess it up. But the best part about that understanding is that you have this expression where he says, but that you be perfectly joined together, but then he expresses the method to which you are perfectly joined together. And that is by being of the same mind and judgment. Well, this one is a problem. Because guess what that basically means? This is where we do everything wrong. Because I come to you and I go, we need to be in the same mind. That means you need to agree with me. Wrong. You two need to be in the same mind. But that means you need to agree with your wife. Because she's always right. And if you said anything otherwise, I'll take you in the back and I'll beat it out of you. But that's wrong. Because the mind that you are chasing after is not one to another, but it is both to Christ. The judgment that we are using is not my judgment over yours, or that we have to come to an agreement on what the correct judgment is. No, there is only one judge. And we agree with him and his judgment. But guess what the church has done? They have made themselves the judges. And they use God's word to explain as to why they are the judge. Because they divinely believe that God has given them the gift to read. And then go, well, I heard better than you, so I get to be the one who determines what it said. You will never hear that heresy come out of this mouth ever. Because my belief is this. You need to go find out what God said and read for yourself. And if you just sit here and idly hold on to what I'm saying and as your belief system and your structure, you are reserving that judgment for me to be over your life. You got it wrong. I have to answer for you at the end of the day. You don't answer for me. But you also have to answer for yourself. And so the response that the church has to have is one that we understand the judge and the judgment is from the one true King, Christ Jesus. And there is no other judgment that is made. First Corinthians 2, again, not very far away, 15 and 16, kind of sets this all up for us. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Was that suggestion? Yet we treat it as such. We hold on to a verse just like this, and we set it up as a, I need to get here. This is the barometer I need to get to. Lord, help me to have your mind. Why do you need his help? You don't need his help to have the same mind. You do. The problem is you are reserving your own judgment. You are reserving your own mind to make your own decisions on what you believe is the way that things are supposed to happen and go when it comes to the things of the kingdom. You've reserved your right to go, you know what? That's where I don't buy in. That's where I don't agree anymore. And you want to know why everybody here has this problem? Because you've all been sold a bill of goods from a church that has led you to believe that the person who's telling you these things has it all together, and you found out they don't. And so you blindly have followed a blind leader only to discover that they don't. And now you are disillusioned, So you always hold on to, I need to always keep this one part aside in my mind, in my judgment, because you, sir, might go one off the cuckoo's nest, and I need to be ready to bail out once that time comes. I need to be able to ready and move myself to a safer place. Oh, this is even really hard for y'all with kids, because you get mama bird instinct, and you're like, oh, they ain't preaching that heresy to my children. We're out. Let's go. What happened? Well, the teacher told them that they needed to do X, Y, and Z, and that's not how we raise our kids, and that's how we do our family. Was it in the Bible? Well, yeah. Well, who's wrong? Well, we don't do that in our house. So you operate outside of the will of God? You can't have that conversation with a parent. Not today's church. You'll get locked up. God forbid we went back 25 years where they were beating your kids. Can't have that church anymore either. There might be one on board. We have a personal issue here because we as believers, we have a tendency to do this one thing. We inflate scriptural matters and we use this as a standard of division amongst the brethren. What does that mean? We tend to make something that we read in the Bible appear to mean bigger, meaner, more meaningful, deeper things to go, well, I am more spiritual than thou art because thou hast discovered this deeper truth in the Bible that insolent fool, and I'm being very, very judgmental here for a reason, right? Could not put these two syllables together apparently to understand what God was clearly saying. Let me tell you all about this deeper understanding of God that I have gathered, and you all come to me and hear what I have to say. But all the while, I have single-handedly excluded a part of the body that God said is more valuable. Not just valuable, more valuable. All because I get in my head that something that God is teaching and showing me spiritually for my own personal edification is not the application method for all. And I can't tell you how many people who take this podium, not here, but stand as a pastor or a preacher or a teacher in a church and tell people their personal revelations that they get from the Word of God and say, and that's for you and you and you. Who gave you that authority? Who gave you that authority to inflate something and make it as though it belongs to you too? Here's some examples, just for food for thought. We take issues like repentance, reproduction, behavior, or even church government, and we take the words God gives us in these areas rather than letting the word speak for itself. We shape the word to conform to what we have as an individual standard. Prime example, one of the biggest separations in the church today is on the subject of repentance. There are churches that believe that you don't have to repent because I'm forgiven. Please understand, I'm not lying to you right now. I wish I was, but I'm not. There are churches that believe that you can be a homosexual and still preach from the pulpit. There are churches that believe that reproductive rights belong to a woman, and guess what you can do with those reproductive rights? Please understand, I wish I was lying. I wish I wasn't being faithful and factual in this. But how did this happen? Because somebody took a spiritual matter, applied their personal point of view whether world-based or whatever-based, applied that and created an indoctrination camp that, guess what it feeds to? It feeds to the personal and the physical aspects of your life, not the deeper spiritual truths that God is trying to open up and reveal to unlock the potential that is in you to go do the deeper and greater things of God that are in opposition to the flesh and the world things that are in you. Basically, long story short, churches have become catering halls. Physically and spiritually. Catering halls. Open the doors. We'll help you. We'll fit to whatever you need. It's almost like they take that one verse where he's like, well, I become these things because this is what you need of me. So the church has decided to adapt that into, well, we'll even embrace the worldly things you bring in too. Well, where's the standard? You have none. This is what will happen. And then we run into issues where the matters of God, the things that God reveals that says, this is important to me, we go into places and we see that there's a group of people that are in opposition to the will of God because they're so fixated on this one thing and they can't move away from it. What do I mean? This is where you get churches that are like, we're a hospital. Well, that's great. What do you mean? We believe God does healing ministry here. Oh, that's great. Good news. Do you preach salvation? No, we preach healing. Got a problem with that there. You're missing a part. What are you doing in this church? Because my Bible tells me this is the way it happens, and you're doing something outside of the will of God. And you're leading people into this church with promises and false hopes. Here's my problem. If I say church, what does everybody here think? What faith are you preaching? Christian Judeo, right? If I say church, everybody is immediately going, Buddhism. No. They're not even in the subject matter. You don't even go Islam. Because they don't call it a church. Right? They don't call themselves the church. We are the only group in all of the different religions that are out there that the church is the people and that faith is Judeo-Christian belief. You know what my problem is? There's a lot of phony baloney people out there calling themselves a church and they're telling everybody that they're a church. But when you walk in, you won't hear about Christ, you won't hear about God, you won't hear about your faith, you won't hear about your walk, you won't hear about the blood, you won't hear about any of these things. All because they don't have the mind of Christ. And how does this happen? Because that ideology, that spiritual inflation, whatever that thing was, we see that there's this divine imprint that God has created and put here, and we go, well, I want to connect with other brothers and sisters in the Lord that believe the same way as me. Because after all, we're going to work really well together if we work in, we share that same belief. And we think that that's what same mind meant. But that's wrong. Because all you are doing is you are recruiting a bunch of echo chambers to basically continue to promote this one-dimensional message. And all the while, what's happening? You're leaving people that need to hear the actual gospel message of Jesus Christ out. And you're actually fostering a sect that you are building, that you are creating. And the only reason you are doing this is because the reality or the truth of the situation is you actually don't want to partner with something else that is different. You only want to work with that which you know. I want to tell you something, and this goes in jobs, just people who have to work. Is everybody at your work the same as you? Why would you expect it to be the same in the kingdom? Why would you expect everybody to be a left-handed person when you need a right-handed pitcher? Just saying. Be the worst baseball team in the world. A bunch of left-handed pitchers playing. You become the easiest team to hit. You become the worst batters in the game. And that's it. You literally become the least efficient team in baseball. But we're all the same. Woohoo! We're doing great! This is where this comes in now. We get to what's wrong, which is the body does not function properly. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 19. And in this, Paul's describing the body, but he's doing so in a very, very interesting way. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body, or if the whole were hearing, where would be smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? First and foremost, we understand that the body here is not compared to us, but it is compared to Christ. The body belongs to him. We understand this simply because we also know he is the head and we are the body, right? We can also see this in other aspects where we see this in the bride and the bridegroom, right? Where at that wedding feast, the two become one. We understand the principle or the concept of a body. Why? Because we all have one. Thankfully. I don't see any floating heads out here. Okay? Just saying. But if you go through verses 15 through 19, Paul's giving us examples using different members of the body, and he's explaining their relationships. Right? You see that relationship between the head and the foot, right? Or, I'm sorry, the hand and the foot. And you see that difference between the eye and the other parts of the body. How these are incorporated. How these parts are in one body. There's a relationship, right? There's a part, but it belongs to the body. However, there's something else. And if we don't, it's going to seem weird because I'm bringing up things that seem obvious to you, but there's a reason why. And I understood very more what God was saying when I got past the, oh, this is stupid and obvious. God, I understand. I thought I did, but then I listened better and I realized I understand much better now. Thank you, Lord. Paul's doing this in a way that the obvious members, which we can clearly recognize because I know and is, I know what an eyeball is. I know what a foot is. I can obviously see that that's a part of the body, correct? It's an obvious member to the body. We could go micro if we want and go the finger. Each digit is a member of the body, the fingernail. We can go into detail if we want to, right? But we know that my hand and my foot are not the same. It seems silly because it's so obvious. But at the same time, we have this distinction problem. right? What is he bringing up? He says, we can identify that these are members of the body, but because they're not the same, does one of them automatically become not part of the body? Think about what you just answered to, and then take a really open worldview assessment of the church. We know that there are other places out there in the world that are feet and we're a hand. Yet, how do we treat the foot? How does the foot treat the hand? Do they recognize that they're both part of the same body? Or are they waiting for more hands to come and join the body because that foot needs to turn into a hand? Because that foot is doing it wrong. That foot needs to become a hand. Do you understand? Now, the reason why, when Paul then goes a little bit further and he expresses, if the entire body were an eye, where the heck would your hearing be? You could see a whole lot, but you sure can't smell, you can't touch, you can't hear nothing. What good are you if you are all one member? You weren't designed to be one member. You were designed to be many members, unique, individual, in one body, which requires some things. And I want to point out one other big issue here, which is also brought up in the fact that when Paul brings up the question of the hand and the foot, or the eye, and which one of those is the distinguisher, and which one of those is the one judging on whether or not the other one is right? Where's that coming from? Paul's pointing it out. He's showing you. He's saying the foot is telling the hand, or the hand is telling the foot. The hand doesn't have the right to tell the foot that it needs to be a hand. Why? Because God made him a foot. Who made you God? Who gave you the authority to judge that that foot is not correct and that it needs to be something else? We have created this problem, church. We have become our own demise because we have determined that this is what Christ meant when he said, you be the same, you all come together as one, that we all have to be identical and all agree and come together as one. Forgetting all things that Jesus actually said and everything he taught. Again, expressing how this is very comparable to denominations, but also how ministries operate needing to follow a standard that makes them all function the same. This is where you get like an AG church that goes, well, here's how we do it, and guess what all of you need to do? The same thing. Well, what if our people are very different in this area? No, this is the way we do things. But I really feel like I'm getting this move of being able to like move in the gifts of the Spirit. No. We don't do that here. What? You literally just made a part of the body like 27 hands in just one area. Look, I understand if you read Ezekiel, there's some really weird things that go on with anatomical parts and the angels and all that junk. But I'm just saying, if you think the Christ body is like 47 hands on one arm, would you want to be that? Because I don't know about you, but I don't think that's going to be very fun. I think that's really handsy. I had to throw a joke in there somewhere, okay? It's getting too serious. I have to bring you guys in. All right? But the biggest issue boils down, or the biggest issue this boils down to is being the judge of what is allowed to be a part of the body. We have become the ones who determined that this is what is acceptable. This is what Jesus is supposed to have. This is the body that Jesus wants. And never, ever, ever, ever has one sat and said, "Hey God, what do you want? What is your plan? How can I express this?" Well, let's put out to just one of the mere facts that exist just here in this small town. There's a bunch of churches in this small town, believe it or not. Many different denominations, some non-denominations. Do you want to know how often the body comes together in this town? Not at all. Okay? And maybe they might fawn an opportunity of, well, you can come to this meeting and we all come to the table to do what? To talk about what you all differently believe in? And how one of you is, like, needs to be excommunicated and hung at the cross because you believe this other, you know, heresitical belief system? Oh yeah. Ostracize them. That's really good. Well, after all, well, that's because your sect is different than our sect. Oh, that's right. We're cutting ourselves all off into pieces because that's how the body works really functioning well, right? I'm just going to go cut my hand off and I'm going to put it over there. It's going to work really good. Sounds like a solution. But if we don't pay attention to what God is saying here, we're missing the bigger picture, which is you actually have to live the body of Christ out in a way that you have to live your entire life out, church. Your role in the church, your role in the body, your role as a connective part of the bigger picture is not predicated on what you know, your obvious point in the world, your gifts, your talents, what you think the Bible says here, what you think this is right, wrong, or indifferent. It's actually about one very basic truth. The same thing that you have to get up and breathe in the morning with. The same thing you go to work every day for. The same thing you have to believe in order to receive healing from that horrible disease that plagues you every day. Faith. Why is faith so only applicable to the believer in their own interpersonal life, but they don't have enough faith to believe that God's plan for the entire church worldwide is greater? That it has to come down to their own personal walk. What does that mean? I know I might have just sounded like I said a bunch of gibberish and it didn't hit. What it means, very basically, is you have enough faith to believe for the things that you have going on in your life. And God shows up and does those things for you guys, does he not? Does he meet you at your home? Does he meet you? So the supernatural ability God has to divinely be in Holly's house and Becky's house. But he can't work with that church over there. And this church here. That's too big for him. Really? Or can you just extend the same faith you believe that the omniscience and omnipresence of God is equivalent and able to do all those things and beyond because God is immensely powerful than you could ever think of or imagine? And his plans far superior to anything we can think of or imagine? And that his idea of how this whole thing is supposed to work out has been planned and plotted out for millennia. And that the whole purpose of Christ coming was so that you all would be the same because you all share now the same DNA. You all share the same way. There is no other path. There is no other mind. There is no other solution. It's one. Ephesians 4. And this is going to be kind of the summarization. But I want you to see what is being said here in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through, what is it? 16. Thank you, Steve. There's two formulas written in here. Like math equation type formulas, church. And it's so crucial because if you want to do this today, start getting your stuff together, because this isn't a mental problem. People might think it is. It's not. It has nothing to do with mental. It's zero mental. I mean, literally nothing. You actually need to actually get rid of your mental belief and what you think or can believe it's supposed to look like or imagine what you think it's supposed to be. Just get rid of that. Because that's what's led to the problem to begin with. To be factual and honest. A bunch of people thinking they know more, know better. Well, I have 27 letters after my name. That's great. You're an educated moron. Fantastic. And now you're going to preach the gospel to a bunch of people? Oh, love that. That's a little judgy. I apologize for that. And he himself gave some. Who's he? Who did this? God did, right? Christ, the Lord himself, and God Almighty, the Father, gave some to be apostles. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Maybe they're one. Maybe it's fourfold ministry. Maybe it's fivefold. I don't care. I don't need to win that one either. It's not an argument. It's doctrine, and I don't care. Do you believe it's four or five? Do pastors and teachers come under one, or are they different? Discuss. Does it change anything that he's saying right now? No! Want to know what the problem is? Here's a great example of it. So many people sit there and argue about fivefold ministry or fourfold ministry, and they didn't even read the rest of the verse. Why are they there? Whether there's four dudes in a tent or five dudes in a tent, I don't care. But their job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. No. Go back. Formula one. Fivefold ministry, God's appointed it for a purpose. That purpose is formulaic. What is that formula? The first thing is, their job criteria is to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to equip the saints. Does that mean just the ones I want? The ones I handpick? The ones I think are best fit for my hand and only hand ministry? Hands of Christ. That's it. Just hands. Nothing more. It's a good church name. Hands of Christ. Down the road, toes of Christ. That's right. That's all they do. They just clap. Woo! They better if they're hands of Christ. They better have it down real good, okay? Equipping of the saints, right? For what? For you to sit in your home and work on your own personal problems all day long and just fix the problems in your personal life, because that's what fivefold ministry is equipping you for? What does it say, church? The work of ministry. Well, family's the first ministry. You know darn well that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your service to the body. Well, Jim, how do I know that that's what he's saying? Formula. For the edifying of the body of Christ. It's there. Didn't finish reading. Formula. The four or five, whatever, are assigned a task divinely from God to equip every single one of you. To do what? To serve in ministry. In forms or fashions as God determines. Because God is the one who appoints the members, right? So, whatever that is, but your job in what you are doing is for what purpose? For edifying the body of Christ. Well, what does edify mean? To what? To build up. To build up. And there is a time frame attached to this equation. This is the equal sign. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, that seems like a lot to get to. Have we come close to even scratching the surface, church? Well, that's probably because the equation that we have beforehand, we ain't doing something right in it now, isn't it? Because my Bible doesn't lie, and my God's plans are perfect. So if the edification process to the body is not working, it must mean that either the work of the ministry is not happening, or the equipping of the saints part is not happening. Now you can go to the next one. Formula 2. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Formula 2 starts with, and it's very interesting, you actually have to work this one backwards. Because if you try to do it the other way, you're going to get it wrong. Remember where we left off from the previous formula? It was for the edification of the body, right? So start from the bottom and work yourself backwards. You'll understand the formula much better now. The growth happens when all the parts are working, right? So the growth means parts are working. What does that mean? That the joints connect and supply what they need. This is the part that drew me in real quick. Do you understand that joints are a very special part of the body? Though we treat them as an individual member, the joints are all Christ. Because he's the one who's connecting us. In every way, he is also not just connecting us, but in that joint, he is also supplying the needs to not just the one part, but to both parts. I didn't make the body. I don't have to understand how it works. I just need to tell everybody how it works. And all of that comes from the head, right? Christ. These two formulas are what is missing in our understanding. Edification, or the building of the church, the body, is only done when the body connects as Christ ordains, and we are obedient to how and what he is assigning us to. I am going to say this again so that we understand. We could talk all day long about service. We could talk all day long about doing the work that Christ has called us to. We could talk all day long. But if you don't want to partner with the person you're supposed to partner with to do that work, guess what you will never do? And you know why you'll never do it? Because you actually can't. Because the supply for what you need to succeed and do it is predicated that you're connected to the part via the joint. And that in that, you can work so that you can grow. The church doesn't grow. Why? Because parts aren't working. Why aren't parts working, Jim? Because they're not connected together with the parts they need in order to receive that which is being supplied, which comes from the head, Christ. You can see this now as a bigger worldview. Why is the church in so many divisions and sects? Because everybody's been trying to supply their own needs and grow on their own, and they have not been connected to the head. Because they refuse to actually connect with the part that they need to connect to, which is where all of the supply comes from. us getting our stuff together is actually predicated on our work, doing our share, and our submission to the headship of Christ when it comes to our needs and how our needs are met inside the body. If we, the church, cannot stop predetermining our roles and the roles of other members, we will continue to build sects and continue to seclude ourselves and not being used, but rather becoming an abnormality or what I would call a cancer inside the body of Christ. What good are we if the good we think ourselves to be is actually producing death? All because we think that we are to operate in an isolation unit and that the part we play requires more of us. That's not the body. The body is actually requiring a lot of individuals, and they're going to come in all shapes, sizes, flavors, colors, you name it. I bring you back to that one verse. Whether it is I or they, we preached and you believe. It's so fundamental, but it is the absolute core of what we as the body of Christ need to hold on to in order to understand that the connections that God is going to bring and connect you to, that is the part that matters more than anything else. Stop getting wrapped up in doctrine. Stop getting wrapped up in worship. Stop getting wrapped up in these tenets of faith. Stop getting wrapped up in all these other things. I'm not saying they don't matter, but stop trying to win battles when you need to work with the other parts of the body. Working alongside does not require those other components. It requires just one. Actually, two. I'll stand corrected. Two. One, faith to believe that God has ordained that we are to work together because He's put us together and that's all that matters. And two, that whether it's I or they, we preached and you believe. And that message is one message only. That Jesus has saved all mankind. That's it. And there's more. Not today, but there's more. But can we understand, church, what God is trying to get us out of? Can we see the correction that God is bringing? And I'm not saying that maybe you personally have this judgment upon you, but I want you to understand that if you as a part of this body can't get it right, guess what? The moment the direction comes from the head, guess what's going to happen? We're like a mini illustration of the full body. If I am led by belief and faith in God and what He's telling me to do, I'm not doing this by myself. I need every single one of you to work with me in that endeavor because we are one member. And I don't want the hand to be this. I don't want strong hand. All right? If you don't know that reference, it's not a great movie, but okay? I don't want dislocated fingers, missing toenails or fingernails. You don't have toes on your hand, but oh no, maybe one of you is a toe on the hand. I don't know. But if this is how we are, how are we going to help lift a single person out of the pit when we are attached to the arm that we need to be attached to do so? We need to be functioning. They need to be functioning. And we need to have faith to believe that when we come together, God's going to use us to do His will. Amen? And that requires all of us to work together. So don't think that this is just a macro message. It isn't. It's a micro too. Because your part in it is just as important as the macro part. Amen? Amen. So Father, as we depart today and we go about our days, Lord, I pray that we would reflect upon what it is you're showing us, God. We would see the bigger picture, and we would first and foremost repent. Repent of our involvement. Repent of our preconceived notions of what we believed how and way the body should be put together. That we would repent for putting ourselves on the throne and being the one who we believe determined how it's supposed to function, how it's supposed to operate, what parts are supposed to go where. And that, Lord, in our repentance, God, we would submit and surrender this to you. That we would trust that the way you want to connect the body, who you want to connect with, how you want your body to work is entirely planned and purposed for you to be glorified and magnified and for the gospel of your Son to go out and affect the world as you predetermined it would. I pray that this message, God, would also go to all of the churches, God. That they would hear what you are saying, not from my voice, but from you, God. That you would divinely press this upon your body so that each member would start to hear your voice and understand and have the same part of repenting and getting on board because, Lord, we need to come together now more than ever before it's too late. So, God, I pray that we would have an earnest desire to see this through, God. And that ultimately you would have that triumphant victory that you called us out for. And all God's people said, Amen.